Chapter 15. Spontaneous Devotional Service. The examples of spontaneous devotional service can be easily seen in Krishna's direct associates in Vrindavan. The spontaneous dealings of the residents of Vrindavan in relationship with Krishna are called Raganuga. These beings don't have to learn anything about devotional service. They are already perfect in all regulative principles and have achieved the spontaneous loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, the cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna do not have to learn by austerities or penances or yogic practice how to play with him. They have passed all tests of regulative principles in their previous lives, and as a result, they are now elevated to the position of direct association with Krishna as his dear friends. Their spontaneous attitude is called Raganuga Bhakti. Sri Rupa Goswami has defined Raganuga Bhakti as spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts of it, with an intense desire of love. Devotional service executed with such feelings of spontaneous love is called Raganuga Bhakti. Devotional service under the heading of Raganuga can be further divided into two categories. One category is called sensuous attraction, and the other is called relationship. In this connection, there is a statement by Narada Muni to Yudhisthira in the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 29th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There Narada says, "My dear king, there are many devotees who first become attracted to the personality of Godhead for purposes of sense gratification, from being envious of him, out of fear of him, or from desiring to associate affectionately with him. Ultimately, these attractions become freed from all material contamination, and gradually the worshiper develops spiritual love and achieves that ultimate goal of life, which is desired by the pure devotee. The gopis may be considered to be examples of spontaneous love and sensual attraction. The gopis are young girls, and Krishna is a young boy. Superficially, it seems that the gopis are attracted to Krishna on grounds of sex. Similarly, King Kamsa was attracted to Krishna because of fearfulness. Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna because it had been foretold that his sister's son, Krishna, would kill him. Shishupal was also always envious of Krishna. And the descendants of King Yadu, due to their family relationship with Krishna, are always thinking of him as one of their members. All of these different kinds of devotees have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna in different categories, and they achieve the same desired goal of life. The attraction of the gopis for Krishna and the affection of the members of the Yadu dynasty are both accepted as spontaneous or Raganuga. The attraction of Kamsa to Krishna in fearfulness and the attraction of Shishupal in enviousness are not accepted as devotional service, however, because their attitudes are not favorable. Devotional service should be executed only in a favorable frame of mind. Therefore, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, such attractions are not considered to be in devotional service. Again, he analyzes the affection of the Yadus. If it is on the platform of friendship, then it is spontaneous love. But if it is on the platform of regulative principles, then it is not. And only when affection comes to the platform of spontaneous love is it counted in the category of pure devotional service. There may be some difficulty in understanding that both the gopis and Kamsa achieved the same goal, so this point should be clearly understood, because the attitudes of Kamsa and Shishupal were different from that of the gopis. Although in all these cases the focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all of the devotees are elevated to the spiritual world, there is still a distinction between these two classes of souls. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Absolute Truth is one, and that he is manifested as impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, or Supersoul, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is a spiritual distinction, Although Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are the same and one absolute truth, still devotees like Kamsa or Shishupal could attain only to the Brahman effulgence. They could not have realization of Paramatma or Bhagavan. That is the distinction. An analogy can be given with a sun globe and the sunshine. To remain in the sunshine does not mean one has gone to the sun globe. The temperature of the sun globe is different from the temperature of the sunshine. One who has gone through the sunshine in jet planes or in spaceships has not necessarily gone to the sun globe. Although the sunshine and the sun globe are actually one and the same, still there is a distinction, for one is the energy and one is the energetic source. The absolute truth and his bodily effulgence are in the same way simultaneously one and different. Kamsa and Shishupal attained to the absolute truth, but they were not allowed to enter into the Goloka Vrindavan abode. Impersonalists and the enemies of the Lord are, because of attraction to God, allowed to enter into his kingdom, but they are not allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets or the Goloka Vrindavan planet of the Supreme Lord. To enter the kingdom and to enter the king's palace are not the same thing. Srila Rupa Goswami is trying here to describe the different achievements of the impersonalists and the personalists. Generally, those who are impersonalist and inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead get entrance only into the impersonal Brahman when and if they reach spiritual perfection. The impersonalist philosophers are in one sense like the enemies of the Lord because the out-and-out enemies of the Lord and the impersonalists are both allowed to enter only into the impersonal effulgence of the Brahmajyoti. So it is to be understood that they are of similar classification. And actually, the impersonalists are enemies of God because they cannot tolerate the unparalleled opulence of the Lord. They try always to place themselves on the same level with the Lord. That is due to their envious attitude. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proclaimed the impersonalists to be offenders of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, however, that even though they are his enemies, they are still allowed to enter into the spiritual kingdom and remain in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, the undifferentiated light of the Absolute. Sometimes an impersonalist may gradually elevate himself to the personal conception of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. By such surrender, an impersonalist can be elevated to the Vaikuntha Loka, spiritual planet, where, as a surrendered soul, he attains bodily features like the Lord. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is stated, those who have achieved liberation from material contamination, and those who are demons and are killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, become absorbed in the Brahman concept of life and reside in the spiritual sky of the Brahmajyoti. That spiritual sky is far beyond the material sky, and it is confirmed also in the Bhagavad Gita that beyond this material sky, there is another eternal sky. The enemies and the impersonalists may be allowed to enter into this Brahman effulgence, but the devotees of Krishna are promoted all the way to the spiritual planets. Because the pure devotees have developed their spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are allowed to enter into the spiritual planets to enjoy spiritual bliss and association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the 10th canto, 87th chapter, 19th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas personified address the Lord in this way. My dear Lord, yogis meditate upon your localized features, and thus they achieve the spiritual perfection of being merged in the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Persons who treat you as an enemy achieve the same perfection without meditating. The gopis, who are embraced by your serpentine hands and who have such lusty attitudes, also achieve the same perfection. And as far as we are concerned, being different demigods in charge of the different parts of Vedic knowledge, we are always following in the footsteps of the gopis. Thus, we hope to attain the same perfection. By the same perfection, we must always remember the example of the sun and the sunshine. Those who are impersonalists can merge into the sunshine-like Brahmajyoti, whereas those who are in love with the Supreme Person enter into the supreme abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. The lusty attitude of the gopis does not refer to any sort of sex indulgence. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that this lusty desire refers to the devotee's particular attitude of association with Krishna. Every devotee in his perfectional stage has a spontaneous attraction to the Lord. This attraction is sometimes called the lusty desire of the devotee. The lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. Such desire may seem to be a desire for enjoying the Lord, but actually the endeavor is to serve the Lord in that capacity. For example, a devotee may be desiring to associate with the personality of Godhead as his cowherd friend. He will want to serve the Lord by assisting him in controlling the cows and the pasturing ground. This may appear to be a desire to enjoy the company of the Lord, but actually it is spontaneous love, serving him by assisting and managing the transcendental cows. This extreme desire to serve the Lord is manifest in the transcendental land of Braj, and it is specifically manifested amongst the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is so elevated that for our understanding, it is sometimes explained as being lusty desire. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Krishnadas, has explained the distinction between lusty desire and the service attitude in this statement. Lusty desire refers to the desire to gratify one's personal senses, and transcendental desire refers to the desire for serving the senses of the Lord. In the material world, there is no such thing as a lover wanting to please the senses of his beloved. Actually, in the material world, everyone wants mainly to gratify his own personal senses. The gopis, however, wanted nothing at all but to gratify the senses of the Lord, and there is no instance of this in the material world. Therefore, the gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described by scholars as being like the lusty desire of the material world. But actually, this should not be taken as a literal fact. It is simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation. Great devotees up to the standard of Uddhava are very dear friends of the Lord, and they desire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So the gopis' love for Krishna is certainly not material, lusty desire. Otherwise, how could Uddhava aspire to follow in their footsteps? Another instance is Lord Chaitanya himself. After accepting the sannyas order of life, he was very, very strict about avoiding association with women. But still he taught that there is no better method of worshiping Krishna than that conceived by the gopis. Thus, the gopis' method of worshiping the Lord, as if impelled by lusty desire, was praised very highly even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This very fact means that although the attraction of the gopis for Krishna appears to be lusty, it is not in the least bit material. Unless one is fully situated in the transcendental position, it is very difficult to understand the relationship of the gopis with Krishna. But because it appears to be just like ordinary dealings of young boys and girls, it is sometimes misinterpreted to be like the ordinary sex of this material world. Unfortunately, persons who cannot understand the transcendental nature of the love affairs of the gopis and Krishna take it for granted that Krishna's love affairs with the gopis are mundane transactions, and therefore they sometimes indulge in painting licentious pictures in some modernistic style. On the other hand, the lusty desire of Kubja is described by learned scholars as being almost lusty desire. Kubja was a hunchback woman who also wanted Krishna with a great ecstatic love. But her desire for Krishna was almost mundane, and so her love cannot be compared with the love of the gopis. Her loving affection for Krishna is called Kamapraya, or almost like the gopis' love for Krishna.